Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. I establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, and I train them in the fear of the Lord, and I treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio, y'all ready to have church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest, and I don't care where you live. Somebody said that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention, if you will, please, just for a few moments this morning, to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. Now, before I give you the text this morning, let's do a little background check on the author and the writing. For the writing to the Hebrews is known as an anonymous book, for its ownership has been debated upon since post-apostolic days. In other words, the author is unknown. And the words are written to those who are Jews according to the flesh, and who have decided to make Jesus their choice. And one of the greatest arguments in the Jewish religion was the person of Jesus Christ. I know I'm right about it, so you might as well say amen right there. For they argued all the time over the fact, was he or wasn't he the Messiah? And so the writings of this letter has a tendency to have a Pauline flavor, indicating that Paul may have had something to do with it or one of his associates. This letter is written to them because they are now being challenged, as it were, to the choice they made to follow Jesus. They're Jews twice. They're Jews twice now, once according to the flesh and once by the faith of the heart. And so, now the writer, he's doing two things here. He's admonishing and encouraging them to stay with Jesus, and he wants them to understand is where you were and who you used to be, that's under the blood now. Somebody say glory. And if you can just hold on just a little while longer, where you're going is better than you have ever been. Somebody say preach. And for those of you that didn't understand that, in Ebonics, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is with each level comes a new devil. With each new level comes a new devil. Now everybody can say amen, because it seems the higher you go in God, the higher the enemy tries to bring you down. It seems the further you go up, the more the devil tries to trick you up. Well, I've got some good news for you this morning, and especially for those of us that have joined the Generation Baptist Church and have been selected for effective service and has chosen Impact Ministry for this new millennium. And for those of you that under the sound of my voice early this morning that dared to move from the ordinary to the present and go with me to the extraordinary of the future and be willing to make some adjustments to accommodate and make room for God in your life, I stopped by early this morning to tell you, you're going to have to take it off, lay it down, and run. I feel like preaching. Listen to my story. In the words of our text, notice the writer talks about a cloud of witness, and this cloud of witness opened up by him are Old Testament saints, or who are listed in what I like to call the Hall of Fame and Faith. Somebody said glory to God. I'm ready now because let's look at the text. In the first verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud to witness. Watch this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's where I want to be. I want to be right here early this morning in the B part of the first verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews and use for a subject, take it off, lay it down, and run. Oh, y'all know how I do early in the morning. Put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip and repeat after me, take it off, lay it down, and run. Listen to my story, my brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text called Take It Off and Lay It Down and Run. We need to know the meaning of the transition from the old to the new. We need to know and remember about 7 months ago at midnight, it denoted progression and promotion and moved us from yesterday to today and gave us a new level to reaching God and an opportunity to be used by God the moment you and I said, Happy New Year. Oh, you all know the story. When you read chapter 11, the author is talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, of Moses, David, and the others. They have been selected and lifted up to us by the author as samples of what it takes to please God. But please notice there is a difference between them and you and I. I need to put a quarter in the meter right there. There is a difference between them and you and I. For you see, the Old Testament faith was based upon a promise made but not obtained. And the New Testament faith is based upon a promise that has already been purchased. I'll prove it to you. I've got some Bible to back it up. Jesus paid it all. And to all to him I owe, and while sin left a stain, he washed me whiter than snow. I feel like preaching this morning. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. The fact of the matter is, not only did he purchase my salvation, the devil still is a liar. He purchased my healing, he purchased my deliverance, he purchased my joy, and he purchased my peace. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. Wow. While the Old Testament saints had to look for it, had to work for it, look at somebody and say, it's already mine. I've been cute long enough this morning. I said, say it's mine. And so, the writer wants us to know the difference between the saints of old and the difference between you and I. Although they obtained a good report from God, they didn't receive the promise or the prize yet. For the Bible says in the 11th chapter in the 39th verse, they received not the promise. They were good people. They loved God and one another, and trusted him to the very end. But in verse 40, it tells us the reason for their delay was the provision for something better for you and I. That they without us should be made perfect. Good God Almighty. So what the writer is saying here is that they're being rewarded And their reward is dependent upon you and I finishing the last leg of this race and journey of life. And so the writer says, they are now a cloud of witness who are cheering you and I on. I believe David and the rest of the saints understood we are in a relay race. And they have passed the baton over to you and I. And in any race, the runner has to wear weights and training on their ankles, am I right about it? And on their wrist, am I right about it? And around their waist, am I right about it? And once the weights are taken off, they lay them down, and then they get to the starting line, and then you hear the gun goes off, and somebody say, somebody better talk back to me this morning. I feel like preaching. The writer says they have to take it off and lay it down and run. And so, the writer says, they're in the clouds, cheering you and I on, saying, you can make it, you can take it, just hold on just a little while longer. Yes, they did some great things. They subdued kingdoms. They dealt with lions and they stopped armies. But my Bible tells me we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as I go to my seat this morning, I should have told y'all this is a drive-by. I believe the writer left recorded on behalf of Jacob and Joshua and Moses and Abraham and Abel and Enoch and Noah and Sarah and David. If you want to see Jesus, you got to take it off, lay it down, and run. I stopped by to tell somebody early this morning, if you're around somebody who likes to go to the he said, she said, they said, and nobody said, take it off, lay it down, and run. If you're around somebody who have nothing good to say about the church, the pastor, or the preacher, take it off, lay it down, and run. If you're around somebody who will make you miss church and don't even go to church themselves, then take it off, lay it down, and run. Before you even go down in the water, for some of my baptismal candidates this morning, I tell you early this morning, take off the old way of thinking and lay it down, for your ways are not God's ways, and let God have his way, and run, for you have a charge to keep and a God to glorify, and you can't do it all by yourself. But you can if you take it off, lay it down, and run. Somebody say amen. Weights will cause you to miss God. And what I like about God, he never asks us to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. You all know the story. Jesus was teaching in the temple, and his mother and brothers came looking for him one day, and he said, who is my mother and who is my brother unless they do the will of my father? And you do know he separated the 70 from the multitude, and then he separated the 12 from the 70, and then he separated the 3 from the 12, and then finally he separated himself from the 3. Y'all do the math. And then he said, not my will, but let thy will be done. Again, to my baptismal candidates this morning, I stopped by early to tell you, you got to take it off, lay it down, and run. And you can do it in verse 2 alone, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross for you and I, despised the shame, and now he sits on the right hand of the throne of God, saying unto you and I got your back, and you can do all things to Christ that gives you the strength. All you got to do is take it off, lay it down, and run. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I introduce to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. And then you're going to have to do some work. Not only look for a church that's preaching the gospel, but look for one that's practicing also. And then just be seated and let your ear learn to develop to hear from the Lord. For the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. And just sit there, because there's no perfect church, and there's no perfect pastor, male or female. And if it was when you arrived, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. Just stay put and trust God. And remember, take it off, lay it down, and run. Ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. May the God I serve bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. I establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, and I train them in the fear of the Lord, and I treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio, y'all ready to have church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest, and I don't care where you live, somebody said, that's the Word of God. I want to turn your attention, if you will, please, just for a few moments this morning, to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. Now, before I give you the text this morning, let's do a little background check on the author and the writing. For the writing to the Hebrews is known as an anonymous book, for its ownership has been debated upon since post-apostolic days. In other words, the author is unknown. And the words are written to those who are Jews according to the flesh and who have decided to make Jesus their choice. And one of the greatest arguments in the Jewish religion was the person of Jesus Christ. I know I'm right about it, so you might as well say amen right there. But they argued all the time over the fact, was he or wasn't he the Messiah? And so the writings of this letter has a tendency to have a Pauline flavor, indicating that Paul may have had something to do with it or one of his associates. This letter is written to them because they are now being challenged, as it were, to the choice they made to follow Jesus. They're Jews twice. They're Jews twice now. Once according to the flesh and once by the faith of the heart. And so, now the writer, he's doing two things here. He's admonishing and encouraging them to stay with Jesus. And he wants them to understand it's where you were and who you used to be, that's under the blood now. Somebody say glory. And if you can just hold on just a little while longer, where you're going is better than you have ever been. Somebody say preach. And for those of you that didn't understand that, in Ebonics, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is with each level comes a new devil. With each new level comes a new devil. Now everybody can say amen, because it seems the higher you go in God, the higher the enemy tries to bring you down. It seems the further you go up, the more the devil tries to trick you up. Well, I've got some good news for you this morning, and especially for those of us that have joined the Generation Baptist Church and have been selected for effective service and has chosen impact ministry for this new millennium. And for those of you that under the sound of my voice early this morning that dare to move from the ordinary to the present and go with me to the extraordinary of the future and be willing to make some adjustments to accommodate and make room for God in your life, I stopped by early this morning to tell you, you're going to have to take it off, lay it down, and run. I feel like preaching. Listen to my story. In the words of our text, notice the writer talks about a cloud of witness. And this cloud of witness opened up by him are Old Testament saints who are listed in what I like to call the Hall of Fame and Faith. Somebody say glory to God. I'm ready now because let's look at the text. In the first verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Watch this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's where I want to be. I want to be right here early this morning in the B part of the first verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews and use for a subject, take it off, lay it down, and run. Oh, y'all know how I do early in the morning. Put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip and repeat after me. Take it off, lay it down, and run. Listen to my story, my brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text called Take It Off and Lay It Down and Run. We need to know the meaning of the transition from the old to the new. We need to know and remember about 7 months ago at midnight, it denoted progression and promotion and moved us from yesterday to today and gave us a new level to reaching God and an opportunity to be used by God the moment you and I said Happy New Year. Oh, you all know the story. When you read chapter 11, the author is talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, and the others. They have been selected and lifted up to us by the author as samples of what it takes to please God. But please notice there is a difference between them and you and I. I need to put a quarter in the meter right there. There is a difference between them and you and I. For you see, the Old Testament faith was based upon a promise made but not obtained. And the New Testament faith is based upon a promise that has already been purchased. I'll prove it to you. I've got some Bible to back it up. Jesus paid it all. And to all to him I owe, and while sin left a stain, he washed me whiter than snow. I feel like preaching this morning. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. The fact of the matter is, not only did he purchase my salvation, the devil still is a liar. He purchased my healing. He purchased my deliverance. He purchased my joy. And he purchased my peace. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. Wow. While the Old Testament saints had to look for it, had to work for it, look at somebody and say, it's already mine. I've been cute long enough this morning. I said, say it's mine. And so, the writer wants us to know the difference between the saints of old and the difference between you and I. Although they obtained a good report from God, they didn't receive the promise or the prize yet. For the Bible says in the 11th chapter, in the 39th verse, they received not the promise. They were good people. They loved God and one another, and trusted him to the very end. But in verse 40, it tells us the reason for their delay was the provision for something better for you and I. That they without us should be made perfect. Good God Almighty. So what the writer is saying here is that they're being rewarded, and their reward is dependent upon you and I finishing the last leg of this race and journey of life. Uh-huh. And so the writer says, they are now a cloud of witness who are cheering you and I on. Uh-huh. I believe David and the rest of the saints understood we are in a relay race, and they have passed the baton over to you and I. And in any race, the runner has to wear weights and training on their ankles, am I right about it? And on their wrist, am I right about it? And around their waist, am I right about it? Uh-huh. And once the weights are taken off, they lay them down, and then they get to the starting line, and then you hear the gun goes off, and somebody say, somebody better talk back to me this morning. I feel like preaching. The writer says they have to take it off and lay it down and run. And so, the writer says, they're in the clouds, cheering you and I on, saying, you can make it, you can take it, just hold on just a little while longer. Yes, they did some great things. They subdued kingdoms. They dealt with lions, and they stopped armies. But my Bible tells me we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as I go to my seat this morning, I should have told y'all this is a drive-by. I believe the writer left recorded on behalf of Jacob and Joshua and Moses and Abraham and Abel and Enoch and Noah and Sarah and David. If you want to see Jesus, you got to take it off, lay it down, and run. I stopped by to tell somebody early this morning, if you're around somebody who likes to go to the he said, she said, they said, and nobody said, take it off, lay it down, and run. If you're around somebody who have nothing good to say about the church, the pastor, or the preacher, take it off, lay it down, and run. If you're around somebody who will make you miss church and don't even go to church themselves, then take it off, lay it down, and run. Before you even go down in the water, for some of my baptismal candidates this morning, I tell you early this morning, take off the old way of thinking and lay it down, for your ways are not God's ways, and let God have his way, and run, for you have a charge to keep and a God to glorify, and you can't do it all by yourself, but you can if you take it off, lay it down, and run. Somebody say amen. Weights will cause you to miss God. And what I like about God, he never asks us to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. Oh, you all know the story. Jesus was teaching in the temple, and his mother and brothers came looking for him one day, and he said, who is my mother and who is my brother, unless they do the will of my Father? And you do know he separated the 70 from the multitude, and then he separated the 12 from the 70, and then he separated the 3 from the 12, and then finally he separated himself from the 3. Y'all do the math. Uh-huh. And then he said, not my will, but let thy will be done. Again, to my baptismal candidates this morning, I stopped by early to tell you, you got to take it off, lay it down, and run. And you can do it in verse 2 alone, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross for you and I, despised the shame, and now he sits on the right hand of the throne of God, saying unto you and I got your back, and you can do all things to Christ that gives you the strength. All you got to do is take it off, lay it down, and run. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I introduce to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. And then you're going to have to do some work. Not only look for a church that's preaching the gospel, but look for one that's practicing also. And then just be seated and let your ear learn to develop to hear from the Lord. For the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. And just sit there, because there's no perfect church, and there's no perfect pastor, male or female. And if it was, when you arrive, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. Just stay put and trust God. And remember, take it off, lay it down, and run. Ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. May the God I serve bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.